darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
The Patrick Henry Society is changing days here on the Survival Circle Network. Come listen to Kit Lang on Mondays now at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. The enemies of freedom never rest, and neither should we. Come and listen to Liberty at its Finest on the Patrick Henry Society now on Mondays here on the Survival Circle Network.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it, you want it. Come and take it, you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for Living Way Out Here.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, now then, let's check and see if we have sound going now. All right, there it is. All right, welcome to the Shooting Bench. This is an unscheduled episode of the Shooting Bench. We usually don't do this on Friday, but we missed last night, and Miss Amy is out of town, so she's not here to do her show. So I thought I'd sneak in here just a little bit early and There's a few things we need to talk about that I think are important. And then we'll move into Liberty Lounge, and hopefully we'll have all of our news and stuff out of the way by the time Liberty Lounge gets here. And let's see. Everybody's saying they're missing sound. Let's see what's going on here. Stand by and hang in with me just a second. Looks like both servers are running fine. Let's check and see. All right, D says we got 5x5 now. Okay, and Pete's in there. Okay, good deal. Pete, good to see you in here, by the way. We don't get to see you very often. I'm glad you made it in tonight. Let me see what else we've got going on in here in the chat room. Nan, good to see you. Mother Earth, most of everybody else is regulars, so I'm glad to see all of you in here. We've got a full 3 hours going on here. Iowa Cat, I don't know if the delay is that big or not. We'll see how it goes. Anonymous says the 64 is doing good. And Funkin' Cat, I'm sorry Amy's not in here. Now, by the way, I forgot to, for the podcast folks, this is Friday, the 28th of August. And last night we missed. I had every intention of being with you last night. And I had a choice. I either stayed in Kingman until after the show, which meant I wouldn't be leaving there until after 9 o'clock, which would have gotten me home about 1 o'clock in the morning. Or I stop alongside the road and do the show at a rest area or a gas station or something, and that would have gotten me home about midnight. Or I could just skip it and get home about 10:30. So I elected to get home about 10:30. So I went and took my general ham test last night, passed it with flying colors, so I'm probably as far along up the chain in the ham ladder that I'm ever going to get. I don't know if I'm interested in going any farther than that or not, but we are going to be looking at a equipment upgrade here real soon. And we're going to try to get out there. Now, this whole thing is pretty foreign to me as far as procedures and everything goes, so you guys will have to bear with me while I'm learning all this. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's not only is it going to be fun, but we've talked about how crucial communications are here in today's world. So we've got a few things to discuss here before we get started on Liberty Lounge. And for those of you that are new and maybe not on the chat room, we'll have... by the way, my call sign, and I'm going to put it in there, is Kilo Golf 7 Victor, Uniform Victor. And that's probably going to change. I've got a couple of ideas for a vanity call sign here, and I'm going to try to work on that next week. If the ones that I want are not available, then I'm not going to worry about it. I'll just keep the one I've got. So anyway, for those of you that are listening and not on the chat, Friday nights is generally an all music deal. Liberty Lounge, all music, usually classic country, sometimes a little classic rock. We tried to do some other rock one night. That will never, ever happen again. That was a complete disaster. So we'll... D said only 30-second delay. That's not bad. It's usually a minute or two. 30 seconds, not bad at all. So... All right, well, let's get on with it. Let me check here. I got a couple of breaking news items coming across here. Give me 1 minute, and let me check and see if this is anything pressing. And no, it is not. All right, let's get back over here where we were at. You know, just when we think that, and I don't know how many times I've said this, I don't know how far we can go. I don't understand how stupid it can get. There's a school in, where's it at here? Anyway, don't matter where the school is. They have banned a little girl's lunchbox because it has Wonder Woman on it. Now, Wonder Woman, by some reports here, is scantily dressed, not as much as some of the people you see on TV. But you might think that that's why they're doing that, because she's showing shoulders, hips, armpits, whatever. No, that's not it at all. It's not because she's white. It's because she is just entirely too violent. Now, on the lunchbox, the only thing you see is Wonder Woman with her, what'd she call that? The lasso of truth, or the rope of truth, or whatever, lariat of truth or something. That's all she's got. She's smiling. It's the cartoon version of it, by the way. It's not Linda Carter. No, it's just the cartoon version. And it shows her with her lariat there, as pretty much all your advertisements and everything, but it's just entirely too violent. Here's a letter from the school. This is the real letter here. Dear Daniel and Sarah, we noticed that Laura has a Wonder Woman lunchbox that features a superhero image. I think it's cut off right there. Image. In keeping with the dress code of the school, we must ask that she not bring this to school. The dress code we have established requests that the children not bring violent images. See, I thought it was going to be dress code. I thought it was really going to be a dress code. But it says that they not bring violent images into the building in any fashion on their clothing, including shoes and socks. Oh, please. How many people bring violent socks to school? Backpacks and lunchboxes. We have defined violent characters as those who solve problems using violence. Superheroes certainly fall into that category. Please refer to the dress code section of the school handbook. Your cooperation with our dress code would be appreciated. Are you freaking kidding me? Really? I would be, if I worked for that school, I would not have been able to write that letter. I would have signed it anonymous. I don't even know if I would have signed it. I don't know what I would have done. I can't imagine somebody doing that. Eddie Crump, no, it was not great. It sucked, and we won't be doing that again. Thank you very much. But glad you could join us. So, no, anonymous, it wasn't the what's her name, the trashy little pig that, hell, I've blocked her out of my mind, and I can't even think of it now. Please, Louise. I really have blocked her out of my mind. Anyway, that's not who it was, anonymous. So, there's don't bring violent images. Don't bring superheroes on your lunchbox. Those that stand up for truth, justice, and the American way, and saving mom and the apple pie and all that stuff. That's entirely too violent. As everybody knows, I've told you the story before. My son got suspended once for getting in a fight. He was sticking up for somebody else. Yeah, Miley Cyrus writes at risk. Yeah, that pig. He's sticking up for somebody else. Everybody on the playground backed him up. He did nothing wrong. And I said, well, let's go get some ice cream. And the assistant principal said, "There, violence doesn't solve everything." And I just about lost it. Or it doesn't solve anything. And I just about lost it. I said, it damn sure does, too. And I just had to turn around and walk away before I don't know what I was going to do as a woman, so I couldn't punch her, but I wanted to. But anyhow. All right. There you go. That's be careful what you... Well, there's Amy right there. Hang on just a minute. Let's see what Amy's got to say. She might have something... words of wisdom here. All right, let's move on. Or by the way, Linda Carter is my superhero. Yeah, I would have her on my lunchbox. I don't know if Amy would let me have Linda Carter on my lunchbox, but anyway. All right, well, let's move on here. Some of you guys may have seen a thing in California here. This is, well, it's not real new, but there was a challenge to the 10-day waiting period there, and apparently they have found that 10-day waiting period unconstitutional. It's all over Facebook here. I know this started... a long time ago. It was filed 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I don't know. And anyway, it looks like they've found it unconstitutional, and whether it's going to be dismantled or taken down or anything, I don't know. And I don't know exactly what day that was, but I'd throw that in there for you. Now, we talked here not too awfully long ago about holsters and the methods and means of carrying your everyday piece. And I have always maintained that appendix carry was not for me, and I don't allow my students to do it. There's several other places that don't allow students to do it. There's some of them that advocate it strongly. And up till now, there's never been a negligent discharge, a shooting, an accident in which someone was injured drawing from that position. I think the potential is there. The potential is high. The nanoseconds that it might save in a presentation as opposed to a strong side presentation, I think, is grossly overrated. I think that there comes a place there... You know, very, very few, if any. Now, don't get me wrong. We do push for good, fast presentations and be able to get a couple of shots on target in a second and a half or less and all that. But, you know, it gets to a point where I don't know if the, you know, we've talked about risk versus reward several times. And I don't know if that risk, the possibility of something happening drawn from appendix carry really outweighs the reward, or maybe I should reverse that. Maybe I should say I don't think that the 0.02 of a second you pick up in that presentation from appendix carry is really worth the risk of carrying it that way. No matter how experienced people are. I'm not saying all people, I'm not saying everybody would. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that have shot themselves coming out of the holster, even though they've done it a million times, but maybe haven't been taught correctly, or, you know, something happened, took their attention off of what they were doing. So from strong side, even if something did happen, even if something were to go wrong and you somehow happen to pull the trigger, either coming out or going back in the holster, the chances of it being life-threatening are pretty remote. As I've said before, the bullet usually goes in right below the cheek of your butt there and travels just under the skin down to just above your knee, exits, goes back in right below the knee, travels under the skin of the calf and usually goes into the ground and may or may not miss your ankle. As often as not, it does miss the ankle, and it's not that serious of a deal. Embarrassing? Yeah, quite a bit. Painful? Yeah, the next day it's going to hurt. Several issues with that. But the risk of something happening from appendix carry. If you had the same issue, if you did the same thing wrong for whatever reason, whether it was a shirt tail or a string or something getting tangled up in the trigger, or a little early on the trigger going in, I mean coming out, or leaving your finger on the trigger going in and hanging up on the holster, whatever the case may be, the outcome of shooting yourself from appendix carry is immensely, monumentally worse than shooting yourself in the butt. And there's a guy in Milwaukee, and after reading this story many times and talking to several people, we all come to the conclusion that this guy was probably carrying appendix style. 22 years old, died during surgery, shot himself in the thigh a week ago today. He was pronounced dead at 1 o'clock in the morning. It says he said he was accidentally shot himself in the right thigh. Hang on a second. According to the medical examiner's report, he was apparently posing with a handgun when he went to holster it. A round fired and entered his right groin area. Okay. If that was a strong side holster, right or left, either one, doesn't matter. It could not have possibly gone into his groin as he was holstering it, as he was going to holster it. Now, there may be something about the story that we don't know, but from the way the story leads us to believe here, is as he was going in the holster, that it, as he went to holster it, a round fired and in his right groin area, which leads me to believe that he was probably left-handed and was going into an appendix carry holster, or was carrying it, Mexican style there with no holster or whatever. But there was two penetrating wounds, the right thigh, no bullet recovered. So it was through and through, probably ricocheted off the floor or concrete or whatever and disappeared into the wild blue yonder. But there was no bullet recovered, none found on x-ray. So if it was through and through, in the thigh, in the groin area, it had to have come from the opposite side. If it went through his right thigh and through, it had to have come from the left side as he was reholstering. There's just no real good explanation for this other than appendix carry. I don't know how many, if any, has happened because of appendix carry. If any other ones, but this one almost certainly was. So it looks like they said that there at the time there was blood found in the chest. A right-sided, I don't know how you say this, thoracotomy, maybe, was performed, and a significant amount of blood was removed from a chest tube. Doctors unclear where this blood came from, as no other injuries were identified. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that that blood probably came from as it hit the femoral artery, which is almost certainly why he died so quickly. It probably, from the hydraulic pressure of that expanding bullet, probably forced a bunch of that blood back into the heart, which may, or the heart area anyway, which could have possibly contributed to his death. But, yeah, that's right, Anonymous. It was, well, we can't guarantee that it was a trigger finger issue. It probably was. I think there's a real good chance. But there's also a lot of times when that is a shirt tail or a drawstring or a belt tip or a snap on a holster or something like that. So, but yeah, you're probably right. It was more than likely it was probably a trigger finger deal. But, you know, I don't care. Now, there has been some people. This is the reason that the, the Black Hawk SERPA holsters, CQC holsters, are banned from nearly every reputable training facility out there, including ours. Thunder Ranch, Gabe Suarez, Front Sight, as far as I know, the Lethal Force Institute. Nobody allows those because there is that possibility, however slim. There has been quite a few shootings with that holster. If you want to see how that works, for those of you that haven't checked on it before, go and look up a video on YouTube. Just put in Tex Grebner shoots self. Tex Grebner, G-R-E-B-N-E-R. Tex Grebner shoots self, and you'll see, and he'll explain it to you. I got to give him credit for it. I think he's kind of a dork, but I got to give him credit for being man enough to stand out there and say, you know, why all this happened. Let's see. Yakima Glock said the local LDS church helping with fire relief locally. That's no surprise. They mentioned on the local rock music station, sent 100 folks up to load a truck full of supplies. Well, Yakima Glock, that's no surprise to me. That is as common as anything. We, you know, the church is usually some of the very first on the scene when something like that happens. It doesn't matter where it happens. Just people drop everything and get it done. And that is a statistical fact right there. That's Mountain Shooter there, the anonymous. Must have had a little trouble with password. That's why I don't put the gun back in the holster that fast. Well, Mountain Shooter, ask everybody that's taken a class from me that may be on the chat room. Yakima Glock, Eddie Crump. I don't know if Tampico Scout or B2 Basic is in there yet. But who else? I think that's all in there right now. But that's one of the things that I push and I tell people over and over again. And I watch them when they come out of the holster and watch where that finger's at going back in. And I probably say it 50 times every class, slowly. There's never been a gunfight won by speed reholstering. It's getting it out fast and safely and firing safely and accurately and quickly. That's what helps win the gunfight. Getting it back in the holster just so you can be cool and show off to your friends, that is not how you win gunfights. So, all right, there's a little bit of news you can use, hopefully. There's been, I know there's been one shooting. Gabe Suarez has had one, maybe two. Front Sight has had a couple. I don't know how many others there's been. There's actually a federal letter out there. I could probably find it if I'd go and look for you a little bit. But there's a federal thing from FLETC that prohibits federal officers from using those SERPA holsters. Now, I'm not sure if it's 100% of the federal officers or just certain ones of them or what. But nevertheless, it's not a great thing. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I need to go to a little break here. Then we'll come back and get into our second segment of the show. And then we'll take another little break. And we'll get into Liberty Lounge. I'm trying to do too many things at once. All right, give me a few minutes. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
When they stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
Okay, enough of that. Let's get on with something else here. The I see where there's a lot of 1911s that, wait, what, why? Hang on a minute. Why is it saying this? Hang on, I am experiencing technical difficulties, maybe. Or maybe not. Oh, I got it. All right. Not as bad as I thought I was. All right, let's get back in here. Let me get back and find my story here for you. As everyone knows, I'm not even a little bit of a fan of 1911s. But I think this is a good thing. I'm glad to see that it's happened. The House has passed an amendment that's going to allow them to sell a bunch of surplus 1911s on the civilian market. Let me check and see. Come on. Chop, chop. Yeah, I just wanted to check the date here. Yeah, this is a brand new story. It just came out yesterday. So, it looks like they've got all that. I don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in. The 1911s we had when I was in, boy, they were wore out. They had been rebuilt, and the rebuilds have been rebuilt and patched up and put through the ringer time and again. And they still worked pretty well, but the accuracy was not the greatest of them. They had been shot. Substantially, but they still worked. So I don't know if they've what they've done to these guns or how many of them there is. Let's see. CMP's firearms reserve is dwindling, but it gets an injection of roughly 100,000 highly collectible military surplus handguns. The organization can continue promoting firearm safety and rifle practice for years to come. So. Not only is this an organization that is committed to training civilians in the proper responsible use of firearms, but at a cost of roughly $2 per pistol per year to store these weapons, we were spending $200 a year. So the representative, now this representative, you might recognize this name. It's not the first time we've heard of him in gun-related issues. This is Steve Russell, Republican out of Oklahoma, voted for this amendment. And he said this sensible change will save the taxpayers millions of dollars over the years to come, as well as aid a great organization serving the public. So that's what's happened. They're paying too much to keep them stored and maintain them, so they're putting them out on the open market. And I think that's a good thing. I'm glad to see that. I wish they'd get all those Garands and M1 carbines and stuff over here that Obama had kept from coming in here. So, all right. Well, this mayor in Texas, he's down in Houston, and this gives you an idea of how society has degraded. In Houston, Texas, we have a lesbian mayor. Well, we talked about this back when it happened. It was back in May, and I was furious over it. You probably remember was talking about it. That was when this mayor passed a law in the a city ordinance, just pushed it through with no vote, no nothing, just kind of declared, said, "Well, I'm Queen Dyke, and I'm gonna make this a law right now, and you're gonna obey it." And that was for if a guy happened to, it would allow biological males to use the woman's bathroom. All they had to do was claim that they identify as a woman. Well, I see all kinds of things going on here with that. Just for the opportunity to get in there and check it out. So she, and when this story first broke, she tried to, or she did. She didn't try. She intimidated church leaders there locally with subpoenas, said if they spoke out against this, that there would be repercussions. Well, as of 3 days ago, the state of Texas has weighed in on this abuse of power and demanded that she put that ordinance to a general vote, giving her until the 24th, 4 days ago, either repeal it or let the people vote on it. Now, I'm hoping that even in Houston, that there's enough Texans there that if they vote on this, that it will not have the slightest possibility of making it. Harris County is pretty wild. I spent quite a bit of time in Harris County when I was working down there. Of course, I'm sure it's changed a lot. It's been 25 years or something like that since I was down there, maybe longer than that. Let's see, I was down there longer than that, I guess. Jeez, I guess I was 20... How old was I? I was probably about 26. No, I must have been 22 when I first got down there. Yeah, I was 22, I believe, when I first went to work down that part of the country. So that was some time ago. If anybody's keeping count. Let me go check the chat room here real quick and see what's going on here. Peanut Rider, I don't know what you're... maybe you're talking about 1911. It's a Blue Dot. Yeah, Blue Dot's one of my favorites, too, for the 10mm and the 40 Smith & Wesson both. Blue Dot works great for those. Trying to just get a quick check right down through here and see if there's anything in the chat room we need to address. Looks like everybody's doing fine, getting along just dandy. Nan, let's see, how old was I in Germany? I must have been 27. I joined the Army when I was 26. And Germany was my first duty station after I got out of AIT. Went to basic in Fort Dix and AIT at Aberdeen Proving Grounds. And went right straight from there to Europe. So, let's see, I went in I believe it was September. September of that year when I was 26, 82, and it would have been 83. Yeah, 83. I was 27 years old. That was a long time ago. I'm having a hard time remembering all that. Well, thank you, Nan. That makes me feel good. Yeah, no, I was 27 years old. I didn't even join until I was 26, and it was late. 26 at that. I'd been 26 for about 8 months when I joined the Army, 7 or 8 months. So I was I got over there I think it was February. I believe it was February of 83 when I got over there. So that would have been 27. All right, let's go on here and let's see what else I've got. Now, here's... I wish I were closer to Idaho. This is almost worth a trip up. Actually, if I had the money to do it, it would be worth a trip up there. There's this is another BLM deal here. You guys remember the story of Claude Dallas? Claude Dallas was up there. He was right on the line there, if I recall, between Nevada and was it Nevada? Yeah, Nevada and southern Idaho. Yeah. Anyway, it's back in 1981. If you remember the movie, I believe it was the Saga of Claude Dallas, the Ballad of, it wasn't the Ballad, but something of Claude Dallas. Anyway, he was a poacher, lived up there, and he's minding his own business. He was not poaching for commercial use, the best I could tell, and from the show anyway. He was trapping for commercial purposes, but at any rate, he got into a little bit of a tiff with a couple of game wardens, killed them both. So now, after all this time, that was in 1981. After all this time, it's a pretty good movie if you'd watched it. It was he served 22 of 30 years. He was released in February of 2005, sentenced to 20 years for the manslaughter charges, 10 years for some firearms violations. And the firearms violations, I think, was a bunch of crap. But anyway, they've decided to put a monument up there for where these guys were killed. These two game wardens were killed. So the Idaho Fish and Game and BLM, or with BLM's blessing anyway, chose to do what we couldn't do, and that is to disobey their own laws, and drove at least one truck into this wilderness area to the canyon rim there in violation of the Wilderness Act that expressly prohibits any type of motorized vehicle travel. Then they installed a permanent rock memorial for these game wardens, which is another violation, right on the banks of the river where they were killed. At this event on May 13th, to officially unveil the monument, Idaho Wildlife staffers also drove a utility vehicle into the wilderness area to provide access for a person with mobility impairments. So if you're handicapped, and this story is only 2 days old now, if you're handicapped, I guess it's okay. If you want to join the party, they can drive an extra truck in the wilderness area there on account of you, They have mocked the entire process here by doing this. It's just amazing. Anyway, before we head on into Liberty Lounge, let's talk just briefly about this shooting here again. There's a couple of things in here that make me absolutely furious. And one is the fact that we had a queer black liberal Democrat killed two straight white people and shot another one. And they blame the gun. And then we have a police officer, actually more than one at different times, that has shot and killed or shot and wounded a known criminal. And there's riots in the street. Well, where's the riots now? Where's Jesse Jackson? Where's Sharpton? They immediately, you know, I'm not so sure that her own father I'm not so sure he's even all that broken up about it. He is more set on attacking the guns than he is dealing with his dead daughter. If he was half the father that he thinks he is, why wasn't his daughter armed and trained? Hell, she's in Virginia. She could have been carrying a gun. That cameraman could have been carrying a gun. He probably would have. Maybe the girl still would have been shot, you know, once or twice, but she may have survived if the cameraman could have immediately addressed that. And the other thing that ticks me off here is these people continuously talking about crisis actors and that this didn't really happen. You know what? Shut up. What a bunch of retards. I can't even believe the things my eyes see on some of these deals in here. Could it have been a false flag? Absolutely it could have been. And you have to wonder if maybe it probably was. Timing was great for their side, not so great for ours. Yeah, it could have been a false flag. That doesn't mean it was a hoax. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. Nobody keeps a secret that well. And these idiots out there say, oh yeah, they give them new identities and pay them to... No, they don't. Could it have happened maybe a time or two down through history? Yeah, maybe. But to think that it happens, there's all these people that think that Sandy Hook didn't really happen. Nobody died. You know, there's a lady here. Yeah, you're right. That cameraman could have slammed that guy in the face with that camera. He should have been. But they're sheeple. What do you expect? They scream and run and freak out and you know, they're not like the three servicemen that beat that guy unconscious in where was that? Anyway, the other day on the train, beat that terrorist unconscious. They were unarmed, and that guy had an AK-47. And they still got the drop on him, and one of them got wounded, but the other ones beat him to a parade rest, and that was the end of that. So, yeah, it can happen, but you got to have the mindset for it. But anyway, we talked about it when? Wednesday. And I ain't buying it. I ain't buying a damn bit of it. I ain't buying one second of it. Come on, guys. Grow up. Let's look at what some of the verifiable things that we really have to worry about out there that are documented, unquestionable. Instead of trying to make stuff up, I don't even get it. I don't even understand. That's so stupid, but... Anyway, there it is. That's. Let me see if there's any last-minute things I need to jump on here real quick. We talked about that, and we talked about that. No, we'll talk about that Monday. That might be a lasting deal here. I think we're pretty well caught up. I've got one little bulletin here I want to check before I sign out. And I'm going to get things rearranged here and straightened up a little bit, and we're going to get ready for Liberty Lounge here in just a couple minutes. So I'm glad you guys could join me. I hope you can hang around here for Liberty Lounge. We've got some good music coming up. If you can't, well, I understand. It's getting a little late back there on the East Coast. Not too bad yet, but remember, we've still got 2 full hours to go. So hopefully you can join us, man. All right, I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.